This is Allie Marshall. I'm talking to musician Jamie Lydell, who started his career as a solo act, but he's known for soul albums like Multiply and Jim. His latest album, Compass, was recorded with Beck, and Jamie talks to Express about that here. He plays the Orange Peel on Tuesday, September 21st. The pairing with Beck, with him producing it, is it's really inspired.
Yeah, right. I mean, he kind of like took me under his wing to a certain extent, at least by asking me to like open up for him in 2006. You know, I don't know how he got wind of what I was up to as a solo act. But something about that, I mean, it's funny because I later spoke with him when we were just kind of like having dinner a few times around his house and stuff, that he used to play solo, you know, he used to just be up there on stage on his own, and like I think he could really, something about the way I would go about doing my thing that I think reminded him of himself at a younger age or something.
Right.
I don't know. It was just kind of like, Something kind of bonded us together. And I've always kind of wanted to explore so many areas of music. It's been a real genuine passion of mine. It's like it's not because I don't have a style. It's just because I really do have a huge love of music of all sorts. And I think that's something that obviously Beck's known for, being that kind of manipulator of image and chameleon and just like always on the move, looking for new things to inspire and, you know, to get into. So, yeah, I was really flattered that he was into helping produce. I mean, obviously, it seems like such a match made in heaven, you know, so it was brilliant. It was a great time.
Had you ever thought of that before, or when he called you up, were you just like, yeah, that could be really cool?
Yeah, I mean, I had kind of hoped that something would happen, I guess. I mean, even after we did... the tour together, I kind of, we did a couple of little studio sessions where he just invited me down with Mocky just to kind of jam along whilst he was putting some ideas down, you know. And like, so we shared a little studio time together as well. It's a little intimidating sometimes to work with a guy like that, you know.
Sure.
Just cold, just suddenly walk in the studio with a bunch of really crazy musicians and just like try and lay it down. But in the end of the day, you know, I love making stuff, and once I let my hair down, I think we all just realized that, you know, this is going to work out. And I also think, like, because Nigel Godrich kind of, like, was really feeling where I was coming from, we did, like, an in-the-basement session, like, in London, and Maida Vale, a long time ago now.
Mm-hmm.
Those are up online now, which I'm happy about. But, yeah, I got to work with Nigel there, and because, obviously, he's worked with Beck, and somehow Nigel was really feeling my solo looping stuff. So I think, in a way, it was kind of something was going to go down, but I was really happy in the end it turned out to be this. My indie on a little bit more, you know. When I was writing the album, I was kind of writing with guitar more, just because I knew I was going to be working with Beck. It did change the way I sketched my stuff. I kind of tried, it was almost like I knew he would be listening to the sketches, and it influenced the way I was writing, you know.
Right.
In a good way, I think. In a way that I thought, wow, together we're going to really be able to do this sound that I've never been able to do before, you know. But it kind of does represent really quite clearly, I think, some of the really strong interests that I have in music. And,
right.
You know, a lot of it is being represented there, you know. Sonic force, some real fragile moments and some feel-good thrown together with some kind of, you know, some searches. album kind of happens in three distinct phases in a way. Like, there was the LA Beck phase, and then there was the kind of Feist House in Canada phase, and then there was the kind of New York home studio phase, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And working a little bit at the Grizzly Bear Church. So it's kind of like they really determined, like, my mental attitude and approach. And each time I was in a different space, I could listen to the material with a totally different perspective, you know?
Right.
So I think once I'd done the raw tracking, some of the sketching, I tried to do the sketching really quickly. So I had these bare bones start to finish kind of energy maps, if you like, of the album. I tried to get those as quickly as I could. I think people kind of misquote me saying that, like, I did the album in a month. It's kind of like I sketched it in a month, which was an important part of why I think the album sounds a little bit more raw, you know, hopefully in a good way for most people, because I was really keen on just, like, keeping it moving, you know. I started to really get this thing in my head, like, if you can get the idea whilst it's fresh and young, it's going to feel that way at the end, you know. And that was really my vocal intention all the time when I recorded it. It seemed that most of the vocals I did at Feist House, which was very low key, and I think it did allow me to just kind of roll around in, like, a pair of, like, you know, tracksuit bottoms and just, like, not feel the pressure of the clock ticking in the big studio, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes for vocals, you just really need to just be able to kick back and let it out. And, but at the same time, I'm a big believer in trying not to hack things too much, so I tried to get the vocal comps happening, like, right away. So I actually didn't labor over them too much.
I'm a man of the mind, condensed to shoes, a perfect kind.
When did you first realize that you're able to sing the way that you do, that so soulfully?
I guess just growing up, I didn't realize it at the time, I guess, but I was just drawn more to, like, you know, Prince and Sly Stone than I was to, like, you know, the indie music that most of my peers were listening to at school, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of guess I was like the soul kid in a school of indie fans.
Yeah.
Which really was not a cool place to be. You know, it's not fun to be like the outsider when it comes to music. It's nice to feel part of a scene, I reckon. And I would have really loved it had I had a scene. The thing is, I really was missing the beat, you know? Like, a lot of this music would happen and there was no groove to me. I just couldn't. No, I didn't understand why people were so into it. It just felt flat, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess I was drawn more to, like, black music. I just felt like it was burning and it had some heat, you know?
Right.
And not everyone was into that. Because I think, in a way, R&B and shit, and I mean, growing up in the 80s, I mean, I'm talking about Prince, really, you know?
Yeah.
Once I fell into the world of Prince and all of the things that made him who he was, you know, yeah, your George Clintons, your Sly Stones, and your, you know, Little Richards and Hendrix and shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's such a rich world already just to draw from, alongside Marvin and, you know, Stevie and the ubiquitous, like, classics that kind of always filtered around and were flooding the airwaves of, like, the radio is kind of golden oldies, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They always stood out to me, and they were like songs that were really magic, you know? Like, one of the first 7-inches I bought was Stevie. It was like a Stevie thing, and I just remember this kind of always saying to my mom, I really want to have some Stevie Wonder. And she said, why don't you just buy a Stevie Wonder 7-inch? And I was like, oh yeah. I can do that. I didn't even clock to do it, you know, because my sister had all the records and I don't know. It's a weird thing. I just didn't really think about it, you know? So, I was a mixed-up kid, I guess. Growing up in a time when there wasn't internet, clearly.
Yeah.
Growing up in a time when, like, I grew up in a small village. There wasn't even a good record shop. You know? So, it's kind of like radio was king, really. And TV. so great. I mean, and I did get swept up later on as the 80s came to a close. Like, of course I got swept up in Nirvana and, like, the rave scene and, like, you know, grunge and all that. Like, it had an undeniable force. So, like, I was always kind of, like, into the punk and the funk, I guess, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of, like, more where I'm coming from. So if it meant it was electronic, I was down with that, so long as it had the spirit, you know?